And we left off in verse, I think we started, we're going to leave, yeah, we left off in verse 30, we'll start in verse 31, and we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, we pray for those that are traveling today that you would just give them grace to get here, Lord, and get wherever they're going safely, Lord. And we pray, Lord, now that our eyes and our ears would be open to your words this morning, and that we would just have a heart for them. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Yeah, I'll leave that here. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll go ahead and start reading in verse 31. Now, before we start reading, I just want to let you guys recap this point here. When we're going through these parables, the kingdom of heaven parables, the kingdom of God parables, where it says kingdom of heaven, doctrinally it's going to apply to the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Now you can take some of that stuff and if it matches up with what Paul's saying, you can apply it to today, but doctrinally this is going to apply to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Where it's said it's applied to the kingdom of God at, okay? There's three of those parables. You got the one of the parable of the sower and the seed. That'll apply to the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. The sower of the, or the parable of the mustard seed, which we're going to go through here in a few minutes. And the parable of the of leaven, okay? Those you'll be able to apply to both doctrinally. Now, you also got to understand that in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is there, okay? It's present there in the kingdom of heaven when Christ is on earth. So you're going to be able to apply some of this kingdom of heaven parables here today on this earth in the tribulation and going into the millennium, the thousand-year reign. And Christ is going to reign for more than 1,000 years, folks. It's not just 1,000-year reign. It's 1,000-year reign with no outside influence. The devil comes up after 1,000 years, right? And he's there for a short season. So Christ reigns for 1,000 years without that influence, okay? But he reigns longer than 1,000 years. So we got to just understand that there too. Verse 31. The Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And we went through, it can be applied to both kingdoms, okay? This is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven parable. It says the kingdom of heaven here. But in other places, in Luke and in Mark, it says the kingdom of God. And we'll go to those places in a little bit. But the kingdom of heaven is a physical, earthly kingdom. And it's here on this earth, okay? When you think about it, when God put man on this earth, right, that he put man in charge of this earth, it's kingdom heaven. All right? Who's in charge of kingdom heaven now? Who's ruling it? The God of this world. And Jesus Christ will come and reclaim that kingdom at a later date. It's going to be after the tribulation. So he will come back and reclaim the kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven is an earthly, physical kingdom. And so the key word here, folks, in this passage is like. Okay? It's like. And a lot of times we, Bible believers and people, we glance over that word like. And we glance over the word as. And those two words can really change your thinking on things if you don't apply it right. Okay, so just remember that, that's a key word here, like. And so the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. And so you start out with one seed, right? The least of all seeds. You start out with one seed. And look how this seed grows. And it spreads out. The branches spread out as it's growing. Think about this, folks. What did God do when after he created this earth? What did he do? First of all, there was the devil and the angels, Lucifer, the anointed cherub that covereth, right? He was on the earth. He was on the earth first, we know that. And these angels, and he had the cities on the earth, and there was destruction, and he was destroying these cities, and he wanted to lift himself up like God and be above the Most High, and God cast him down. Okay? And there was chaos on the earth, and of course, it starts off in Genesis, if you look. We don't really have to look at that, but in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So the devil lost the kingdom of heaven. He lost the kingdom of heaven. And God, what did he do? He created a man. And he put him in the garden, put him on this earth. He gave him dominion over the fish of the seas, over the fowls of the air, over the animals, right? Now, man is in charge of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And so God took one man, put him on the earth. And look at what happened to that one man. Look at all the people that have come out of that one man. The first Adam. Right? Okay, so they've come and gone. And look at all the people that are here today. You had Adam, then you had all these people, and you had Noah, then you had a flood. And then you had all these people, and look at where we're at today with all these people here on this earth. Okay? Look at from the one man. Look at Abraham. Look at this one man, Abraham, who believed God. Right? And God counted unto him for righteousness. What does the Bible say? Without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? Then comes Isaac and Jacob and a nation comes out of Jacob. Called Israel. It's called Israel. And that's back in Genesis. We went through that before. But a nation comes out of Israel. So you see, God starts out with something small. Israel is said to be, he chose them because they're the smallest of the nations. Right? They're the smallest people. They didn't have a lot of people. He chose the small. And look at what the nation. Look at all the people that come through that nation. You can't destroy that nation. We can think that we could destroy that nation, but that isn't going to happen. And even when they do, God saves a remnant. And he's going to start all over again with that nation. Right? So, look at what the Bible says here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. Okay, he starts off with one man. And look at where all these people come from. He starts off with Abraham, goes to Isaac, and Jacob becomes a nation named Israel. God changes his name to Israel. The word like and as in the Bible are words that can really mess you up. They can mess you up. And we need to be mindful when we come across them and be very careful how we use them. Okay? I'll give you an example. Jesus used the word mustard seed to give an example of what some little faith could do. Go with me, if you would, to Luke. Luke 17. He's not defining the word faith here, folks. He's given us an example of what a little faith can do. Luke 17, verse 6. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you." Okay? As. What is a grain of mustard seed? It's small. It's the least of all seeds. We just read in Matthew. Okay? And so, faith really doesn't, it doesn't have anything to do with the mustard seed in that, except that Jesus was using that word mustard seed to show us, right? To show us that a little bit of faith, that's all you need. All right? And you could do so much with it. It's just it's a least of all seeds. It's the least of all seeds. And so what Jesus is saying here is the kingdom of heaven started out small. And it's not small anymore. And not only that, but we have some birds in this picture. Okay? We have some birds in the picture. And it's in a tree here. It's not part of the tree. It's in the tree. Okay? Look at what the Bible says. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Now, you do a little research in some of the encyclopedias, and you find out that these mustard seed plants, there's a difference of varieties of them, and they grow different heights and stuff. But there are some of these mustard seed plants that grow into these big bushes. They're like 12 feet tall now. And you can barely look through them, folks. You can't see any other side of these things. And so keep that in mind here. What is a picture of an unclean spirit in the Bible? We went through. Let's go back to verse 4, 13 verse 4. The Bible says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Right? Fowls came and devoured them up. Go with me, if you would, to verse 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which was received seed by the wayside." So the devil and the fowls are connected. That's how the Lord's trying to describe what's happening here. He's using fowls to describe that the devil is coming to take these words away. Okay? So, when the Bible uses birds in here and he uses fowls, and he's a lot of times he's talking about unclean spirits and the devil coming and they're in the area here. And so what Jesus is saying here is that there are unclean spirits. There are devils. We know that unclean spirits are devils. You can cross-reference it all. Unclean spirits are devils, folks. And we went through that already. But there's these unclean spirits. There's devils. And they're going to make their home in this tree. Okay? Amongst the people. They're going to make their home there. And in the branches, and we're going to find out why they're making their home there. But if you go with me to Luke, let's see here, Luke 13. Let's go to Luke 13, read a parable, or the parable there. Luke 13, 20, or 18. Luke 13, 18. The Bible says, "Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." Okay, let's go to Mark, see what it says in Mark. So, we know that the fowls are lodging not only in the branches of the people in the kingdom of heaven, but they're lodging in the branches of the people of the kingdom of God. Okay? Mark chapter, what would I say? Mark chapter 4. 4:30. The Bible says, "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and become greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." These birds are trying to get away from something, folks. They're trying to get away from something. They don't like the light. Okay? They don't like the light. They don't like the sun. And devils want to hide. They want to hide from Jesus Christ. They don't want to be around him. Okay? And so they're going to hide under the shadows of people. They're going to hide under the shadows of the kingdom of heaven, people in the kingdom of heaven. They're going to hide under the shadow of the people in the kingdom of God. Look at what the Bible said about the tares. They're there. People, they're right amongst us. Unclean tares. Whether they're people, they could be people there, these tares. But the devils are there right along with. Okay? And they're going to be in the tree. And they're going to lodge in these trees. And they're going to try and escape the light. But that's what they're doing there. They're under the shadows of the leaves. They're trying to hide from the Almighty. The devils know that judgment is coming. And so they hide in the things of God. And they try to have influence upon the people there. That's what devils do. They put thoughts in your mind. They take away things from you. They take away the Word of God from you. They can add thoughts into your mind. And they have influence there. Okay? You say, well, kingdom of heaven, that's... Well, you got the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah, you do. But look at what the Bible says. We'll get there in a couple minutes. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because then I'll be ending this lesson real short. But they're trying to hide, and they're trying to influence the people that are there. At the end of the tribulation, after all the death of so many people from different things, from plagues, from these the judgment seals, right? From getting killed by the Antichrist and his minions. After all that death, at the end of the tribulation, the kingdom of heaven is going to start out again with Jesus reigning. And it's going to start out small with a remnant of people. And a remnant of people of Jews, right? It's going to start out with some people that didn't take the mark. It's going to start out with some people that were for the Jew and helped them out. It's going to start out small. It's going to start out small in number. But at the end of 1,000 years, Christ is still ruling, Christ is still reigning, and the people have grown. Kingdom of heaven, right? Big tree. Great tree. A lot of branches. And the devil is now released. Christ is still reigning. The devil is released. He's released. And I'm under the assumption that he's going to be released with some other devils. But by the end of that kingdom, the heart of the thousand-year reign, it's going to be enormous size. And the devil, possibly his helpers, they're going to be released and they're going to lodge in the trees again. And they're going to have influence over the people again. Look at what the Bible says. They're not in there till after it becomes a tree. They're not in there as it's growing. They lodge there after it's grown. Okay? They're in the branches after the branches appear. It has to grow. And so they're going to hide in there. They're going to hide from Jesus Christ. They're going to hide from His light. And they're going to have influence on people again. And that's what this verse is teaching here. They're going to lodge in there. Kingdom of heaven, right? It's the kingdom of God too. It's the kingdom of God too. Folks, do you understand that born-again Christians, the church started off small. Didn't start off with 1 billion people in it. Probably doesn't have that many in it to this day. But it started off small. Started off with the thief on the cross, right? Some say Pentecost. But that thief got saved by faith. But he went to Abraham's bosom. He didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at that point. So did he get born again? I don't know. I don't think so. I think he was saved, but he didn't get born again. Okay? But the church, born-again Christians, the church, it started off small. And it's grown, and it's grown, and it's grown. And you have devils that love to come to church and sit in the pews. You may not see them, but they're there. Especially in Bible-believing churches. Because the Bible says that the birds are going to lodge in the branches. And they're in the work. They're, when there's missionaries out there giving the gospel to people, they're right there next to them, trying to influence them, trying to get them to stop doing his work. Right? We have a spiritual warfare we fight every day. Why? Because the birds of the air are lodged in the branches. They're not part of the tree. They're just lodged there. They're just hiding out. Okay, we got to understand that. Okay, verse 33. Here's another parable. This can be applied to the kingdom of God too. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. In Luke 12:1. Go there and read that for you. Jesus mentions the leaven of the Pharisees. And he mentions it, what it is. He tells you what it is. Luke 12:1. The Bible says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one another upon one another. What about all those people that got killed? Where was that at? I forgot where that was, but they were just walking in there. A big crowd of people trampled over like 35 people or something like that. Anybody hear that on the news? I think it was in China. But anyway, in so much that they trod one upon another. I wonder if there anybody died there. But they walk on people to death in crowds. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy. What were the Pharisees doing? They had good outward show. Right? They had a nice little book with all their traditions in it that they tried to force upon the people. And they tried to push their works on people. But they had no heart for Jesus. And they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Right? They wanted everybody to be like them, but they didn't want to be like Jesus. That's hypocrisy, folks. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, 13. Bible says, "But woe unto ye, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." The Pharisees didn't want men to believe on Jesus Christ. They didn't talk about the Messiah. They weren't getting the people excited about Jesus coming and the Messiah coming. And when he came, they told everybody he was a devil. That's what they did. They gave no encouragement whatsoever to those that were following Jesus. They only gave discouragement. That's what the Pharisees did. Verse 14. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." They would put on a show and make widows believe that they could pray for their family members and get them out of purgatory. "If you only give us 10,000 pence," or whatever they had at the time, "$10,000, you can pray your family members out of hell or out of purgatory." But they would do this, making a show, making people believe that they could help them when they were just trying to steal their money. That's what they did. It happens today. Nothing's changed. It happens today. Verse 15, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass the sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." They went out looking for converts. They weren't telling them about the Bible. They weren't telling them about Jesus. They weren't telling them about the Messiah coming. What were they telling them about? Their traditions. They were telling them about their doctrine, not Christ's doctrine. Their doctrines, not Christ's doctrine. Right? It's plural there. And so, these guys are getting converts, they're lying to them with their doctrine and traditions, and the guys end up being worse than they are. That's what happens. Bad seed, bad people, worse people. But they're hiding leaven. Jesus mentions the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He mentions it in Matthew 16:6. Matthew 16:6. The Bible says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, Is it because we have taken no bread?" Verse 11, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees?" Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine. Of the doctrine. And so these Pharisees and Sadducees will go get converts. And they give them their doctrine. And then they would make them worse than they were. Jesus mentions the leaven of Herod in Mark 8:15. It's a political religion. It's a political religion. These are like your state churches today. Your state churches in China, or you can say whatever you want here, as long as you're under, or you can't say certain things if you're under a UCC, I don't know what it is, some corporation, what is it called? 501(c) corporation. Yeah. You can't say certain political things in the church. Why? Because you get tax benefits, and so they can control you now. That's what that's all about. Setting up state churches, political churches. This is the religious, it's a religion of power, folks. That's what the Pharisees and Sadducees were. They were teamed up with Herod to rule over the people. That's what it was. They wanted rule. They wanted to lord over the people. That's what they did. And when Jesus Christ shows up and was going to destroy all that, oh, they couldn't have that. They had to crucify him. But the Bible, folks, okay, go back, if you would, to Mark, or Matthew chapter 13. The Bible sometimes uses woman, the word woman. The Bible says in another parable, he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And so sometimes the Bible uses the word woman as a symbol of evil in moral and religious applications. Okay, and that's found in Zechariah 5. You've got this woman in this spear, or in this. Let's go there real quick. Zechariah chapter 5. I'm going to have to get this done quick here. We all know about the woman in Revelation. Revelation, what is it, 17? And then you've got Rahab as pictured as, Rahab pictured as a woman in Revelation 2. Zechariah 5, 7. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephod. And he said, this is wickedness. And so sometimes the Bible uses woman to portray wicked applications of people doing things in the Bible. Okay? And there's a good woman and a bad woman in Proverbs. So you see what I'm saying? It's not all the time that woman is bad and used in a bad sense, but in this case, it is. But three measures of meal, Abraham brought three measures of meal to the angels in Genesis. Okay? In Numbers 15 and Leviticus 14, you'll find meat offerings. These are burnt offerings that are given to the Lord. And in Leviticus 2:11, the Bible says that no meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven, nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Why? Because these meat offerings being burnt in the fire, these offerings being burnt in the fire, portray the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. And you start putting leaven there, now you have a Jesus Christ in whom there is corruption. And that's why leaven's left out of that. He had no corruption. He was not corrupt. Every time Jesus spoke of leaven, it was of a corrupt influence. The leaders of Israel not only were a corrupt influence to Israel, their own, but they were a corrupt influence to Gentiles. What were they doing? They were going out, traveling around, trying to get Gentiles to be proselytes, right? Jewish proselytes, corrupting them, making them worse than they were. Every time Jesus spoke of leaven, he's speaking of it as a corrupt way. They were saying, look at our good works. Don't look at that man Jesus. That's what they were doing. Now let's look at how this leaven fits in with the kingdom of God. Luke 13, and we're almost done. Give me a couple more minutes, we'll finish this up. Luke 13, 20. The Bible says, and again he said, wherein shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So what are we supposed to do with this? Go with me, if you would, to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:1. The Bible says, "Stand fast, ye therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Verse 7. "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." Right? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And so, what is leaven here in a Christian's life? It's going back to the law after Jesus made you free. That's what the leaven is. Going back to a law, to the law. 1 Corinthians 5, and we're almost done, folks. 1 Corinthians 5, let's see what we got here. 5:1. "It is reported commonly among commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Look at verse 6. "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And so here's the problem. Here's the problem that the Lord is showing us, that's the problem with the kingdom of God. This leaven is a problem. And it's there. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, it's in both places. As the church moved forward in time, from day one to now, it faces this danger. Okay? And it's going to face this danger in the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, where there's no influence of devils. There's going to be this danger. One of them's trading liberty in Christ for a legal type control under those that don't love Jesus. That happens today. People try to put other denominations, pastors, teachers, even Baptists, try to put their people under the law. Why? So they can rule over them. Another danger that the Christians will face in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven, people in the kingdom of heaven are going to face the same thing, is to give in to wickedness. Right? You're going to have the little unclean spirits in the trees, persuasion, giving in to wickedness, and thinking it's okay and tolerating it. What happens when a congregation becomes governed by law instead of liberty? Where's their focus? On the law. It's not on Jesus Christ. What happens when people are okay with the sin, wicked sin that's going on in churches? You have a people that care more about people than Jesus Christ. And those are the dangers. Those are the dangers that we're going to see in the church age. That's why he mentions this this parable of leaven. We're going to see that there, and we're going to see it also in you're going to see, people are going to see that in the tribulation. People are going to see that in the millennium. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your words, and thank you for these parables, and we pray, Lord, that we would apply them correctly to our lives today, and apply them doctrinally, Lord, the way you have set them forth. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.